Good morning. Everybody awake? And there's quite a few churches that had a sunrise service. And my wife was saying, sure, I'm thankful for East River that we didn't, amen. Because it was a long night last night. And like Pastor said, the devil has been fighting. But that's always a good thing. If you never run head on into the devil, probably means you're going in the same direction as he is. And so it's a blessing to have a head-on collision with the dark side this morning. And I just found out about 15 minutes ago that I'm teaching Sunday school. And so if I teach any heresy this morning, just chalk it up as he's still trying to get his mind working, amen? All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms in chapter number 100. The book of Psalms in chapter number 100. We have looked at this chapter before. And there's only five verses in this psalm, but it is packed full of good truth from the Lord. And I love the books of Psalms. And I titled Psalms, really the whole thing, is it's a hymn book. It is a hymn book, and it's a H-Y-M-N, but it's all about hymn, and it is a hymn book. And I've got a little book that I read, and the author said that when you get in the Psalms, it's honey from the Hebrew hymnal. And God gives us sweet things, and He takes the bitter things and makes them sweet through the Psalms. And so let's read Psalm chapter number 100, and then we'll get right into the text here, and maybe do a little review, and then get right into the rest of this thought. I started teaching on this Psalm, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, maybe longer than that. But we'll try to continue what the Lord started a few months ago. Verse number 1, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I don't know about you, but if we were just to pray and go to the house, amen, I've already been encouraged by the words of the living God, amen? Isn't that a blessing? If you came in here with your head hung down, kind of like a question mark, you read that and take that thing to heart, and the Lord, amen, will make you an exclamation point for the Lord. I mean, what a blessing that we have a God that loves us, and He expects us to live up to His words. The Bible is His standard. It is the expectation that the Lord has put upon us. And in this chapter, really, He deals with God's people. And if you take that thing to heart, God will show you how to have the right attitude. You know, we've got enough bad attitude Baptists, don't we? As a matter of fact, I know of, and I'm not being critical, I've been to some of these conferences before. Some of these meetings and blowouts and revivals and jubilees, but there's one of them I went to one time, and it was literally called, and it wasn't all bad. I mean, we had a good time, whether the Lord was there or not, amen. But it was called the Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout. And man, they lived up to the name, amen. They really did. But I don't know about you. I don't want to be a bad attitude Baptist. I don't, Brother Brock. I want to be a man that's got a good attitude, no matter what the circumstances of life are going on. I want to be like a Brother Walker. No matter what comes in my life, I can still stand at the doorway and be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and have a smile on my face despite what's going on around me and say good morning and hand a bulletin to God's people. You say, how does that happen? It only happens through the supernatural transaction that God has given to us. But here in the text, we see that God gives us some instructions here on how to have the right attitude. How to not be a bad attitude Baptist. You know, you can have two believers that are going through the same storm, and one of them will come out better and the other one will come out bitter. What makes the difference? I mean, listen, what makes the difference? What is it that God has done in one person's life that he did not do in the other because the other person did not, by faith, receive the truth into their hearts? One person will sing in the rain and in the storm, and the other one will sink in the rain and in the storm. The difference is not the environment, because they're going through the same thing. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. Some people think, man, if I get saved, it'll just rid me of all my problems. No, it won't. You're going to go through the same things, whether you're saved or not, but you're going to be able to go through it with a different attitude, because you have somebody that you're going through those things with you. You're not alone. And so here in Psalm chapter number 100, God gives us this divine handbook for the kind of attitude that honors Him. Don't you want to honor the Lord? Don't you want to live life in such a way that pleases Him? And it's only five verses here in this Psalm, but it is packed with these principles that shape the spirit. A spirit. I want to have a right spirit. A right attitude, a right disposition, a right heart. And this is not a suggestion. This is a summons from the Lord. He is summoning us to gather around and say, okay, this is what my expectation is of you. And he sees, it gives us a prescription, as if we were going to the doctor, and if you came in and you had a wrong attitude. And there's some people, you don't want to ask them how they're doing, because they might tell you. And you might leave more depressed than what you came. You say, why? Because they just got a bad attitude. I don't like being around those kind of people. You're going to be like the people you hang out with. Someone said before, you're going to be like, in 5 years, you're going to be like the people you hang out with and the books that you read. There's a lot of truth to that. So get around some people that have the right spirit. You know, Paul said in the book of Philemon, he said there at the last part of it, he said, it was an interesting verse. Out of all that happened there with Onesimus and Philemon and the hurt that happened and Paul, of course, stepping in there and all the typology there that we see. But the very last part of it that Paul wrote to Philemon, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You're going to need some grace on your spirit. Not just in your soul and in your body, but with your spirit, your attitude, your mind, your will, your emotions. And so let's look at some things here, and I'll mention a few of them. We've already looked at some of them, but we'll just review it. The first thing we looked at there in verse number 1, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Number one, you got to have a shouting attitude. You know, God expects us to lift up our voice and make some noise unto the Lord. That's what he said. Make a what? A joyful noise. You see that? Unto the Lord. Who? All. You say, well, that's just not my personality. I just don't believe in that. Well, listen, God said, all ye lands. Everybody ought to do something, whether it's singing, whether it's saying amen, whether it's amen, just make some noise. And you say, I ain't doing it for people. Well, don't do it for people. Do it for the Lord. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You cannot shout without making some noise. That's what he said. Some people have never made any noise for the Lord. Listen, being quiet all the time in church is not spiritual. Some people, they make a noise at a ball game, they make a noise when they're upset, they make a noise at the house, they make a noise when you're out with your animals. I mean, everybody makes noise at some point in time, but doesn't the psalmist say, God said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You cannot dismiss what God said, and if you're going to have the right attitude, you're going to have to learn how to have some joyful expression, not just your silent frustrations. Make a joyful noise. I don't know how you do it, but you ought to do it. He didn't really give us any specifics there. He just said, make some noise. Sometimes you can do like Brother Clark. and the singing. You say, what is that? It's making noise. It's an expression. Say, Lord, this is for you. Because God's listening. And He's paying attention. Sometimes you just say, amen. You say, what is that? And it's just an agreement. So be it. I'm with you, Lord. Whether you're a lady or a man, do it within the boundaries of let all things be done decently and in order, but you ought to do it. And if you look around and you say, you know, I just what are people going to think? Don't matter. You're doing it unto who? The Lord. So as God leads you, make a joyful noise. Have a shouting attitude. Shout with some delight in your heart. Joy is the outward overflow of our inward confidence in the God that loved us and wooed us and died for us and was buried for us, rose again for us, and saved us by His marvelous grace. And we ought to have some noise that we make unto Him. Our joy is not tied to the circumstances of life. Our joy is in Christ. It's in Him and Him alone. And we ought to have this declaration. Joy testifies that God is still in control. How is it that somebody can lift up their voice, make a joyful noise unto the Lord with their mouth, even though the world is crashing all around them? And a believer this morning who refuses to rejoice is a believer who is losing the battle of having the wrong spirit. Your spirit needs revival this morning. Because a renewed spirit, a right spirit, a spirit that has the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with us, it will praise the Lord. The Lord has never looked at me whenever I said, amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Glory to God. The Lord's never said, now Brian, settle down a little bit. You're praising me too much. I never had the Lord rebuke me for praising Him. To the contrary, He might say, hey Brian, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm awaiting. I'm a listen. You see, if you do it, you can shout yourself. You can make a joyful noise. You can get yourself out of the mully grubs when you do it. Amen. Sing, shout, clap, say amen. Open your mouth unto the Lord. I don't care how you do it, but the Lord just says do it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And by the way, he's probably mainly talking about singing, because this is a hymn book. And so do it for the Lord. Amen. When it's singing time, open your mouth and sing unto the Lord. So there's a shouting attitude that we must have. I'm talking about how to have the right attitude. Then there's a serving attitude. You ought to serve the Lord. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord. How? With gladness. Listen, when you come in, you ought to have a smile on your face. You ought to have a pep in your step. Amen? Do it with gladness. Real Christianity, it's not just believing God, it is serving God. Some people say, I believe, but they don't serve. You ought to serve the Lord with a right attitude. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do it with gladness. This morning, God is not honored by our grumbling. Well, I'm just going to tell you, don't grumble. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do it with gladness. You ought to do it with gratitude in your heart. Hasn't God been good to us this morning? We serve because we're saved, not so that we can be saved. That's the difference between Bible-believing Baptist and a lot of other religions that are separated from the Lord. The reason why we do what we do is because we are saved. The truth is, we could live however we wanted to. You don't have to come to church this morning to go to heaven when you die. There's people right now that skipped out on an Easter Sunday service. Stayed home today. Said, I'm not serving the Lord today. I stayed up too late. I don't feel like going to church. You know what? They're going to the same heaven you are if they're saved by the grace of God. But we don't do this to be saved. We do it because we're saved and we want to serve the Lord. And we do it with gladness. We do it with the gratitude in our heart. And you ought to do it with some grace in your heart. Stop holding a grudge. Man, there's a lot of grudge holders in church, isn't there? Something bad is going to happen to you if you stay in church any length of time at all. There's this many people get together every week. Somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's going to tick you off. Somebody's going to wrong you. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's probably not going to shake your hand and you're going to take it personal. But don't walk around with a grudge. Amen. A bitter servant cannot bless anybody this morning. You can be sure that life will be full of stuff that's going to weigh you down. Stuff. Children problems, health problems, personal problems, wife problems, husband problems, grandkid problems, church problems, work problems, financial problems, marital problems, and just find another problem and lump it in there with it. Amen. It's going to happen. Cheer up. It's going to get worse. That's life. Life's not fair and people are cruel. But don't hold a grudge. Just get up and serve the Lord. You say, how do I do it? You got to serve the Lord with grace. That's why he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There's going to be enough stuff happening in your life that would make you bitter. You know why? Is Robin, because we live in a world with three problems: sin, sorrow, and death. Everything can be lumped into those three things: sin, sorrow, and death. That's the world we live in. Until we get out of here, we're going to deal with it. Sin problems, sorrow problems, and eventually we're all headed to the grave. But you know you can still live this life, our 70, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. And if you go above 80, you're just living on grace, on borrowed time. It ought to make you want to serve the Lord even that much more, that he gave us a few more years, not because of what we did, but just because he's a God of grace, and he wants you to serve the Lord. And God is serving God with the wrong attitude. It would be like, having a dirty bottle full of slime and dirt and sewage, and then trying to put some perfume in there to smell good. You see, we're a vessel. And when our vessel is dirty and stinky and not right, and God wants to smell the sweet perfume of our praise and our service, because he takes note of these things. When we mix the two together and we don't have a clean vessel that has a right attitude and we can serve the Lord, it's like putting dirty perfume, clean perfume, in a dirty bottle. It just don't work out right. And so you ought to serve the Lord with shouting, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord, amen, with serving, with the right attitude, not with a grudge, but with the grace of God upon your life. And then look at what he says here in verse number 2. He said, if you have a right attitude, don't just shout, and don't just serve. And this one kind of goes with the first one, but I do believe it's probably a little bit different, because in verse number 2, verse 1, he said, just make a joyful noise. Do you know some people can't sing? You ever sat next to somebody can't? Amen. What's bad is when you can't sing, but you think you can. I'm glad God hears differently than we do. Some people sing, I mean, it's off. I'll give you an example. Brother Rick Weimer, missionary to Germany, is the most awful singer I've ever heard. And if he was here, he'd laugh and he would agree. Amen. And I would say it if he was sitting right there. I'm not talking bad about him behind his back. It's funny. And sometimes, man, I'll be over, when I'm in Germany, they'll sing this song called I'm a Pilgrim. And it's, Jesus, Jesus, mein Leben, mein alles ist Jesus. And it's good. I mean, they sing. And I'm telling you, Rick Weinberg, I'll have my phone out. He'll be right there. I mean, he will be off key, not even close. I'm talking about way off, man. And he'll be singing louder than anybody in the building. And man, sometimes it's like, man, Brother Rick, just stop for a second so I can get a good video because, man, you're taking over the sound system, you know. And man, the Lord is like, he's making a joyful noise. I guess he is joyful. He's been there 40 years. I tell him every time I see him, I say, I think you're in it for the long haul, amen. I think you might make it. And he's been faithful. Some people can make a joyful noise, but some people are good at singing. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see that? You ought to have a singing attitude. Your spirit follows your song, doesn't it? A singing Christian rarely stays a sour Christian. You can almost tell people that are right with God. You can almost measure it because when you're with someone that's really full of God, the majority of the people I know, they're either singing or humming. It's just in them. Our pastor, if you've hung out with him, that man hums and sings 24/7, 365. Miss Cindy could probably tell if he's not right with God, because it probably stops, doesn't it? Amen. My wife's the same way. As a matter of fact, my son, he really outdid me one year for Christmas. Women like sentimental gifts. You know, I just, man, here's a couple $100. I mean, that's good to me. But they would rather have a $50 gift that had some thought put into it than a $500 gift that had no thought. Not romantic, right? And so my son, he gets my wife this charm from James Avery, and it's put on a little necklace, and it's a hummingbird. And she opened it up, and she looked at it, and she said, "Hummingbird." He said, "Yeah, Juju." He said, "I got you a hummingbird because that's what you are. Every time I'm around you, you're always humming." And she thought that was the coolest gift. I mean, she's just going on. She didn't care about what I got her. She liked the hummingbird charm from James Avery because there was a sentimental tie to it. And it's true. We got a family member that really probably needs to get right with God, because every time we're around that individual will rebuke our family, my girls and my wife, tell them, "Stop humming. You're humming all the time. It's getting on my nerves, you know." I'm like, "Well, you probably need to get right with God so you can hum with them." But the truth is, if you come before the presence of God, you're going to do it with some singing. You ought to sing. You say singing brings you into the presence of God. Worship lifts the heart above the heaviness and the hardness and the heavy things of life. It brings you above it. You come into these doors and you are bearing the weight of this world, and you come in here, and Brother Jason gets up here, and he said, "All right, everybody stand, turn to hymn number so and so." You might not even feel like standing, but you stand up, and if you make an effort, and you begin to sing the songs that Brother Jason picks out, and you lift up your voice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you come before his presence with singing, it's not very long until your worship goes into the presence of God, and your heaviness is no longer as heavy as it once was when you came in. You say, why? Because this is how you live life with the right attitude. You do it with singing. Singing. That's why there's so much power in music. Music moves people. Music is one of the most powerful mediums in all of the world. Music can inflame people to cut themselves. You start listening to the wrong kind of music, you'll start cutting your body. I was with the preacher just this past week, and he preaches to a lot of young people, and he said the majority of the people that I know, and that's a big thing now. Maybe some of you parents don't know anything about it, but it is a big thing in our culture to where these children, these teenagers, are cutting themselves with razor blades. You know why they're doing that? Because they're past feeling. They are so numb. Their conscience is so seared because of the power of music that they want to feel again. So they do anything to feel pain. It don't matter if it's pain or what kind of pain it is. They just want to feel something. You say, what causes that? The power of music. Music causes people to commit suicide. Most murders and rapes and awful things that we won't even talk about this morning that happened many times right before it happened, someone was listening to rap music or rock music or heavy metal music, something that moves them to do something wrong. You say, what is that? It's a counterfeit to what God said. You take the right kind of music, these old hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you come before His presence, music will melt the anxiety in your life. This morning when we sang the song that we just sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, I could feel, amen, just the weight of this world that's been on us for a few days lifting. So why? Because it just did something for me. It lifted me up. There's spiritual power in music. You see, the praise of God invites God's power into your problems. When you begin to praise the Lord and begin to sing unto the Lord, you say, what's a great example of that? A great example of that is Saul and David. Listen to this. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, this is in 1 Samuel 16, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was what? Refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know what happens when you listen to the wrong kind of music? Number one, you're not refreshed. You're inflamed with rebellion. Just the opposite. The Bible says that Saul was well. You're not well. Amen. You get bitter and angry. You know what else happens? The Bible says when the Lord's music comes, evil spirit departed. You know what happens when you play the devil's music? Evil spirits come. You see, it's always the opposite. It's always the counterfeit. So what we want to do this morning when it's time to sing, sing before the Lord. Amen. Don't you want to have the right attitude? Sing. I guarantee you this morning, there's no way you could sing every single verse of every single song and open it and make a joyful noise unto the Lord and come before God's presence this morning with singing. If you have a heavy load this morning, if you'll make an effort, say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to make a joyful noise. I'm going to come before your presence with singing. I guarantee you this morning, you'll leave better off than when you came. There's power in singing. There's power in the songs that God gave to us. That's why there's such an attack on these hymn books. Oh, they don't want us to, they don't like the, by the way, God's people are the only people that have a book full of songs about our God. Brother Oakley, the Muslims don't have a hymn book. Amen. I mean, blessed assurance, Muhammad is mine. That don't, come on, man. Amen. They blow themselves up. Man, we got a book about our God. It's about His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering and His assurance and His joy and His goodness. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. There ain't no Muslim that said Muhammad is so good. Confucius is so good. Joseph Smith is so good. Nobody has anything like that. It's about our God. Our God. And God gave us a hymn book. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And listen, don't ever forget that the devil is doing everything he can to attack the songs of the old-fashioned, God-honoring way. Amen. There's this new age contemporary movement that's changing it, that's trying to bring the filth of the world and the goodness of God and put it all together and mix it together, amen, and call it worship. It's not worship. You know why? Because it moves the flesh, but it does not lift the spirit. Old-fashioned good singing, when you come before His presence, will clean you up, lift you up. It'll give you the right attitude. Amen. It's hard to be bitter at your brother when you sang about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's hard to sing, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Amen. Teach me, amen, some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. It's hard to sing that and stay bitter at your brother or at your sister. You say, why? It just lifts your spirit and it's easy, amen, to have a right attitude when you have the right songs. Number next here, you ought to have a submitting attitude in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You know, this morning, submission is simply recognizing this morning that the Lord, He is God. Guess what? He's God, we ain't. Amen. That'll help us this morning to serve the Lord. When you realize that His position is God. By the way, God does not consult with us. He does not ask for our advice. He is just God. And He is the providential God. You say, what about Him? His plans are higher than our plans. It's way up there. We can't understand all that God does. We just have to trust Him. You say, what's the prerogative here of the fact that God is God? He has the right to rule our life, and guess what? He has the right to overrule sometimes. He's God. He don't say, now, let me ask you if you can get your permission. No, he just does what God does. Because He's God. And we must submit to the Lord with the right attitude. Tear up the script for your life this morning. Give God the blank script. And His will is much better than your will anyhow. So why don't you just give it to God and say, Lord, I trust that the Lord, He is God, and surrender to the Lord. You see, a right spirit and a right attitude flows from understanding that God is God. He made us. He's in control. He rules. He overrules. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must surrender to Him. Number next here, if you're going to have the right spirit and the right attitude, you're going to have to understand that we must come before God with a shepherded attitude. Shepherded. Look at verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If He is the shepherd, then we can stop acting like a bunch of strays. Amen. You don't have to be the black sheep of the family. He's the shepherd. You say, what does He do? He guards our life. Wolves can come in close, but they cannot conquer us. Many times they come to the door. But if David can, a man, can protect those few sheep that he has as he's doing his father's business out there in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and 17. If David can do that, then we can trust our perfect heavenly Father who says that we are the sheep of His pasture. He left the 99. He came after us. He put us in the fold. Amen. And listen, thank God that we have a good shepherd and a great shepherd and the chief shepherd, and we're going to be all right because He is our shepherd. That's what the Bible says. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He guards our life. He guides our life. He leads us even when we don't understand the path. He leadeth me beside the still waters, doesn't He? Sometimes He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes He says, all right, I know you keep on wandering over there, so I'm going to make you lie down for a little bit so you can get still for a little while. But He leads us. Thank God for the leading hand of the Lord. I love Psalms chapter number 78. Let me read you the last verse of the psalm. One of my favorites is my wife's favorite verse. Psalm 78, verse number 2. So He fed them according to the integrity of His heart. This is Psalm 78, 72. Look at what the Bible says. And He guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. Aren't you glad this morning that He guides our life? He guides us to the right church. He guides us to the right spouse. He guides us to the right town to live in. He guides us to the right job. He guides us, amen, to where what we're supposed to do with our life, our calling. He guides us. He says, okay, I want you to give this person that. I want you to go tell that person about Jesus Christ. You see, our life is guided by Him. Why? Because we are shepherded. And we ought to live up to the fact that we are His sheep. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then we ought to have a sanctified attitude. Verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The Bible says enter into His gates. You see, our attitude, the right spirit, changes when you approach God intentionally. The Bible says we are to enter into His gates. I ask you this morning, have you entered into His gates this morning? Some people come in body, but they ain't there. Somebody said, well, you're here, but you just ain't here. There's a difference between somebody being here and somebody being here. That's why He says, hey, come enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter. Have you done it this morning? Have you entered into the gates of God this morning? You ought to come in here, amen, and count your blessings this morning. Have the right attitude, your gratitude. By the way, gratitude reframes pain through God's goodness. God's good this morning. And when you start looking at the goodness of God, the things in your life don't look so bad. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. You start doing that, you know what will happen? Bad attitude lift. Right spirit come on you. You say, why? Because you'll just have to say, God's been good. He's been good. So enter into His courts this morning and be thankful. Number 9 here, you ought to have a saying attitude. Verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto Him. And do what? Bless His name. You see, you're going to have to use your mouth again. You're going to have to say it. Let the Redeemer of the Lord do what? Say so. You ought to speak praise publicly. You say, why, Brother Brian? Because your mouth becomes your ministry. God wants you to lift up your voice unto Him. Speak praise purposefully this morning. It's not just making noise. But God wants to lift the atmosphere around us whenever we lift our mouth up unto the Lord, and the dark clouds begin to lift from our life, because let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of his enemy. Somebody lift up their voice when it's testimony time and say, I'm just glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad when I was lost and undone, I was on my way to hell, that Jesus passed by my way and He convicted me and He let me understand the gospel. He gave me enough sense to not to say no another time, and I received Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? It's a saying attitude. If you want to have the right attitude this morning, talk like God is good. He said, Brother Brian, I don't feel like He is. Talk like He's good even when you don't feel like He is. There's going to be times in your life when you're not going to feel like God's good to you. But guess what? You can't go by your feeling. You've got to go by the fact that God is good. He is good no matter what you're going through in your life. And then I'm done this morning with this. Psalm 100, the very last verse, verse number 5. For the Lord is what? Good. Say it with me. For the Lord is good. Say it again. For the Lord is good. Say it one more time. For the Lord is good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This morning, the bedrock of the right attitude, the foundation of our faith, what we believe this morning is the fact that God is good. He has never stopped being good. There's never been a period of time in God's life when He was not good. He's been good, amen, He's always been. You can't explain God this morning, and He has never stopped being good. You know what else He's never stopped being full of? He's never stopped being good, and He's never stopped being a God of grace. His mercy never runs out. He does not have a reservoir and say, okay, when all this is gone, then it's gone. No, no, no. It's an everlasting load of mercy. You say, I've sinned too many times, Brother Brian. God cannot extend mercy to me. I got good news for you. Amen. He is a God full of mercy. He never runs out of mercy. He is a God of grace. And He's a God who guarantees that what He said is true even when we don't feel like it. You say, how do I know? Because verse 5 says, He is good. His mercy is everlasting. And the very last part of the verse says, His truth endureth to what? All generations. The next generation, and then the next generation, and the next generation. He's still good. He's still full of mercy. He's still full of grace. He's still God. He never ceases from being God. And when you take that in and you believe what God said, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through this morning, and you have the right attitude, it becomes unshakable whenever your attitude is anchored in God. Amen. Let your anchor hold. Throw out the lifeline. Amen. Grab a hold of the goodness of God and the grace of God and the guarantee of God, the mercy of God, and understand that what I'm teaching this morning, this is not a natural message. It's a supernatural thing. It's not something that you can understand. By the way, this is not automatic in your life. It's not just something that happens because you say, well, Brother Brian, I just believe everybody that's saved, this is automatically going to come in their life. No, no, no. You have to understand this morning, you have to choose to believe. You have to lay hold on eternal life. Like Paul told Timothy, it's not just something for an occasion. It is something that must be continual in your life. You say, what kind of attitude must I have? A shouting attitude, a serving attitude, a singing attitude, a submitting attitude, a surrendered attitude, a shepherded attitude, a sanctified attitude, a satisfied attitude, a saying attitude, and a steadfast attitude. And then you can walk into tomorrow with the kind of spirit that honors God, satisfies your soul, and settles your spirit. Be different. Don't be the average, bitter, back row, barely in Baptist. Amen. Don't be a Sunday morning only Christian. Get in. He said, well, I'm here, Brother Brian, I'm here. No, no, no. Get in. I know you're here, but are you here? Amen. He said, well, I'm there in spirit. No, we need your body. I don't like preaching to spirits. Amen. We need you here. Get in. Have the right attitude. Amen. Watch God change your life. Amen. You won't be like the majority. You'll be like the minority that lives in victory. Live life on the highest plane. This morning I was reading 1 Samuel, and the Bible says that when Samuel went back, he went back to Ramah, where his house was. You know what Ramah means? It means the high place. You say, how do you know about a high place? You know, the first thing he did when he went back to Ramah, Samuel, the Bible says he built an altar, a place of sacrifice. When he got back to the high place, he said, where did he learn that? He learned that from his mama. You know what his mama was doing when she didn't have a son? She was down there on the altar praying. She's down there. She was in such soul travail for God that the backslidden preacher Eli said she's drunk. Now, you talk about someone that's opening their mouth before the Lord and got a good case of the I don't care is what anybody thinks. That was Hannah. Hannah got a hold of God. Eli didn't. He missed it, but God didn't. Amen. And God changed her life, gave her a son for the glory of God. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live life on the highest plane. Help us, Lord, to go back to Ramah, the high place, and build an altar. have the right spirit and the right attitude for your honor, for your glory. And God, help us, Lord, to do these things this morning as we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.